A scripture lesson I've chosen to read from the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 32, and reading the first three verses of the 11th chapter. Hebrews 10, 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's Hebrews 10, 32 through 11, 3. Through the years, you know that I like to deal in series. It's kind of like having a menu, or if you don't have plans, say, well, what should we eat? And so sometimes it's just not the best, and you eat whatever it is. So for the preacher to say every week, what am I going to talk about this week? What am I going to do? So I kind of like it when I say, well, I know next week I'm going to be talking about such and such thing, and the week after that, and so on and so. It's not cut and dried, but it's just an order. But the thing that I am going to start considering is the great cloud of witnesses. Remember Hebrews, the 12th chapter, saying we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it's talking about the people of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And so I feel that there are a lot of wonderful lessons in this, just like Paul said in the 15th of Romans, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so I feel that there are a great many things that we can learn from these witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses that can be helpful to us in our lives. And today we want to talk about the meaning of faith, because this is basic in our study of the faith chapter. In other words, what are we talking about when we say we're going to talk about faith? What is faith? And of course, this is where people just automatically quote Hebrews 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's, in other words, when you ask somebody, what is faith? That's what they say. Well, do we know what faith is after we've said that? And so that's what we're exploring today, is this the meaning of faith. And because we're in the latter part of this 10th chapter, there was this exhortation to patience in view of the promises. Don't give up, because we seem like things are bad. We have reproaches, and we're gazing stocks, and we have afflictions, and we have companions that may not be compassionate and understanding. And he said, you had compassion on me and my bonds. He said, don't cast away your confidence. That's a lot of what there is in faith, is confidence. And so anyway, he's exhorting them. He said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Then it goes on to say that now the just shall live by faith. And so this is a kind of a key word. It's we're talking about living by faith, we really, all of us, are in an age we can't see Jesus. None of us has ever seen Jesus. We haven't seen the other apostles. We have not seen Abraham. We have not seen God. And we're really living by faith. And that's what we're called on to do, is to live on faith. It's just like I had a real good conversation with a young man that is working in the Edgefield area. He's an archaeologist and anthropologist, and we got talking about it, and I said, well, I've always been interested in biblical archaeology, and I said, they don't have to find the Ark on Mount Ararat for my faith, but it would be okay if they did find it. But I said that their faith is asked of us. In other words, that we have to take what we hear, they're not things that we have seen. And so as a result, that's where faith comes into our lives. All of us have to live life of faith, because we sure can't see the future, and so we have to accept it on faith. Well, the thing that we are going to be emphasizing then in these coming weeks is the examples of what it means to live by faith. And this is what the 11th chapter is. It's a great faith chapter of the Bible, just like 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection chapter. This is the great faith chapter. And so he finally said, do not cast away your confidence, and live by faith. That is actually a quote from the book of Habakkuk. And it says that the just will live by faith. Habakkuk is that little book after Nahum, before Haggai. And in the second chapter, in the fourth verse, he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And the emphasis here is faith in this particular text. In Galatians, the third chapter, this is quoted, and it's, the emphasis there is on the just. And here, the emphasis is on living, because it goes on to give the whole 11th chapter talking about those who live by faith. Any of us who've ever studied church history and people of history, it was Martin Luther that was struck by this text, the just shall live by faith, because he was Roman Catholic. And everything there was on deeds and rituals and money, paying for indulgences and other things. And to him, to see this text, that just shall live by faith, yeah, this rang a bell with him. This, I believe, sometimes is a little overdone, in which there's some of the largest church in our midst just says, well, it's not by works. Works don't figure. It's just faith. But I bring out those texts that show that you can't prove you have faith unless you have works that go with faith, that prove that you do have faith. So the great cloud of witnesses is following this text of Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith, and the whole thing is given to it. When you look up the definition of faith, I rather like the definition that Bullinger puts on it in his Greek Lexicon and Concordance. It's from the word pistis, means firm persuasion. The conviction which is based upon hearing, not upon sight or knowledge. And then is a firmly relying confidence in what we hear from God in His Word. So here the big emphasis here is conviction that comes by hearing. And in fact, all the way through here, in this 11th chapter, sight doesn't figure in on it. It's when it comes to faith, everything has to do with hearing. I always wondered, and we're going to talk about this in a later time, but just, I've always wondered how by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I mean, one was a dirt farmer and one had flocks. Well, when you realize faith comes by hearing, they had to have heard something that would have told them what kind of an offering to bring. Abel obeyed, Cain didn't. So everything is just like Noah. God told him there's going to come a flood. There had never been a flood before, never even rained before. So it could not be based on sight. It had to have been based on hearing. So all the way through in all of these people, this name here, if it uses the word faith in relation to them, it meant that they heard something. And, of course, as Romans says, 10th chapter, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So correct faith has to be based upon correct hearing. And, of course, there the correct hearing is the word of God. Moffat, in his commentary on this, said that it's belief in God against the world. It's belief in the Spirit against the senses. It's belief in the future against the present. In other words, there's a confidence that one has in God based upon what he has heard. And this is the basis of this. I like the other translation of this. It's the foundation of things hoped for. It's conviction of things not seen. To me, it's an amazing thing that anyone of faith through the years, through the centuries, through the millennia, that this faith that we have today has been held and shared and passed on generation after generation after generation. Just think how strong it is. Think how strong our people were that this should be the guiding light and the guiding and controlling force in their lives for as long as they lived. To me, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and it's amazing. It's this foundation on which we rest our whole lives, but it's all based on our hearing. It's our conviction of the things that we haven't seen that we still believe in. So when it says it's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, think of it's the foundation of things hoped for, it's the conviction of things not seen. And it is all based on hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So going on to the chapters, I've said in other words, there's no faith demonstrated in Hebrews 11 except that which is based on hearing from God. That's the only faith, the only thing that's in here is what's based on hearing. In fact, all in Hebrews 11 demonstrated the foundation of hope or the conviction that was found in verse 1, based on the things hoped for, the things not seen, based upon hearing. It surely is not sight. In fact, faith is not sight. In fact, they're the exact opposite. If you have sight, it doesn't take faith. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and there at the 7th verse, we walk by faith, not by sight. There you have it in one verse. We walk by faith, not by sight. When you get back over into Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 2nd verse, by it, or through faith, our elders, our forefathers, obtained a good report. This is what is saying about this particular thing. In other words, they're examples of what faith did in their lives and how faith led them. I love that 12th chapter, first verse, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking away unto Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It was this faith that he had in the future that God would fulfill in him to be the great king of the world, that gave him the ability to endure what he had to go through. Verse 3 is a very interesting verse. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." To me, this is, it's an interesting verse on the surface, but one of the things that starts causing trouble is when you realize that the word worlds here is not talking about earth, but it's aeon, or ages. So then what are you going to do with the verse? "Through faith we understand that the ages were framed by the word of God." Well, that's not too bad. "So that things which are seen are not things of made which do appear." But there are a couple of footnotes, and I'm going to read them because I find them very interesting. The emphatic diglot, which most of you have, verse 3 says, "In faith we perceive that the ages have been so thoroughly adjusted by God's command that not from things then manifest the things now seen have come to pass." That's how he translates the third verse. In a footnote he says, the original word has been literally rendered both in this place and in Hebrews 1:2 as best agreeing with the argument of the writer. In fact, aeones properly signifies ages or periods of time, and as justly observed by Wakefield, Sykes, Neeland, and the improved version, there are no instances in the New Testament where more than this seems to be meant by the word aeon, and therefore ought to be so rendered in this passage, faith being defined in verse 1 as a basis of things hoped for and a conviction of things unseen, must necessarily have a connection with God's word or promise to be fulfilled in some future period of time, and therefore precludes the idea contained in verse 3 of the common version that the apostle was referring to a past creation of the worlds or the material universe. To understand the works of creation does not belong to faith. Faith in this place refers to what is to be developed in the future ages in conformity to God's promises, and is amply illustrated in the remaining portion of the chapter. That's a footnote in the emphatic diglot. And in Bullinger's Companion Bible, in the notes, he says, "Worlds equals ages, aeon. Framed means prepared. The word is the words of God. They were made or came into being," then it goes on, "out of things that appear." The reference is not to creation, but to the ordering by God of the dispensations, each of which is succeeded but did not spring from its predecessor as a plant does from its seed. By rendering aeon as worlds here, and framed instead of prepared, and made instead of came into being or came to pass, the meaning of this important statement is lost. In other words, he's saying that it's not talking about the creation of the world or the making of, of the physical things that we see, because he said that doesn't take faith. He may explain it, but it doesn't. But it doesn't mean what it should as far as faith. So what we're saying is that through faith, we understand that the world was adjusted, or the ages were adjusted by the Word of God, so that when the time comes, we will actually see and enjoy the blessings that are promised. He's saying the future ages are not left to chance. He's saying God is in control. And if He has promised us a kingdom, it will be fulfilled. I know that we become impatient at times when we see the world as it is and see the troubles about us, illness and disease and wickedness upon the earth that is so rampant that even our officials that we trusted in betray us. Surely the kingdom of God is something we desire. But we know that the future is in His hands. We want to develop this whole idea of the future. What God said, even if it has not been seen before, even if it cannot be seen by the eye, the human eye, that it will yet be done. We live by faith, not by sight. And that's the thing that we have to do. I like Romans, the 10th chapter, on that. There at the 8th through the 17th verses. What saith the word? It's nigh thee in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of truth, the word of faith, rather, which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek or Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how welcome are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the means by which we can be saved. The only means by which we can be saved is by our faith, by developing this basis, this confidence, this trust in God and His word that has been spoken to us. We pray that we can indeed live by faith as He asks us.